bringing the stories of people just like us directly into your home and learning more about them. This is Trent Speaks.
Through my like mission trips and stuff, I've realized how much I love hearing people's stories. Because everyone has one. That's what I think I've realized.
That's Jesse Van Domlin, and he's this week's guest on the Trent Speaks podcast.
There's a lot of people that you see and maybe even know for a while, but then you find out like they have a story, you know, and it's so cool. Like everybody has something, and I love seeing that you're on this route, and I love that you are just finding other people to come on and, you know, like talk to or have someone else share their story. And it's so cool, Trent. It is so cool.
That was part of a conversation from exactly a week ago today. And it even stemmed from Jesse saying, you know, this isn't the Trent that I used to know.
I'm not going to lie. A lot of times I'll click on your live video and watch for 2 minutes and that's it. But I love them. Like, I still love them.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's something about knowing you, you know, like middle school, high school, and then seeing this. Like, it's so cool. I hope that doesn't sound that I don't mean that to be like, I don't know.
Bad. It's bad. Not. Yeah. It's not, yeah. Though. It's not, because you're right. It's like, that wasn't difference. Me at all.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's the coolest thing ever.
Jesse went on in that same phone conversation a week ago to talk about how his time to degree completion has actually been a blessing in disguise.
In retrospect, when I look back, like the fact that it took me 8 years to get a four-year degree might be the best thing that's ever happened to me, because I've got the opportunity to go on all these mission trips. And after doing them so many times, I've realized like this place has a big place in my heart. And
yeah.
I'm going to make sure I go back once a year, at least.
But to get there, Jesse's stories about his mission trips and how that shaped him, we need to back up a little bit. Though, funny enough, I say we need to back up, and really I need to bring us to the phone conversation we had a couple days later. The phone conversation that I asked Jesse all about his story, in which he shared everything and anything that came to him. Though it took me 45 seconds to figure out how I wanted to shape my first question and where I wanted to start with him. So instead, I started super broad. What is your story? Like, what has impacted you that's kind of led you to where you are now and where it is that you want to be? And from there, I just let Jesse talk.
I grew up west side of Michigan. And, I would say the most normal family ever. Like, me and my brothers always joked about that. And then I went to Grand Valley, mostly because my brother Patrick went there. And I saw the campus, and I was like, oh, this is good enough. It's the only college I visited, only college I applied to. So I got in pretty quick. I got in easily, and I just, that was an easy choice for me. I always kind of... I'll get to later is, I like always did what made me comfortable. Like, it was comfortable, but I visited my brother. So it's a comfortable choice. So I chose Grand Valley, and, it was my sophomore year when things kind of started changing. And, in the spring of that year, my mom got really sick, and she got, just like pneumonia. And she ended up in the hospital for it. I remember my brother calling me, telling me that he's at the hospital. My mom was there. And it should just be maybe an overnight thing, but then she'll be home. And it was like 2-3 days later when I found out, or not found out, but, she was still in the hospital, and, the pneumonia it's called septic shock. Which I later looked up after she got better, that there's a 50-50 mortality rate. So I didn't realize how actually bad it was. But she was in the ICU, like out for like 5 days, something around there. And that was really scary. And that was like the first time I've kind of been shook and, like the most normal growing up family kind of started. I realized like we're not all invincible, I guess. So she ended up getting better. She had a really awesome turnaround. She was in the ICU for those 5 days. And then, she was in the, like a lower level room. I don't really know what it would be called, but, for probably another week. And then she came home and was super weak, but, she got better pretty quick. So that in itself kind of made me realize, you know, this life isn't, you're not invincible. Things can happen. And, so then that same year, in the fall, it was in August, I was heading to my brother's house because I was living with him. And I show up and there are cops at the door. And pretty much instantly as I walked up, they asked me if I was Jesse. And I said, yeah. And my brother was right there and he looked like shocked. And they told me that my dad passed away in a car accident earlier that day. And so in a snap of the fingers, I was told a fact that, you know, my dad was gone. And I was in quite a bit of shock for a while. Like, I knew that as a fact, but I didn't really feel it, I guess. Like, I guess that's what shock is. But that kind of, that really turned my world upside down. I had great support from friends and family, and my other brother, I have two brothers, and I was living with the oldest one. The middle brother kind of moved in with us for the next week, so I had my brothers around me constantly. So that helped for that week or two after he passed. So then there I was heading back to college my junior year. I was 20 years old and not really knowing what to do with my major. And my dad just passed away. I had a really close friend I met freshman year who was an awesome Christian guy that I'd always looked up to. He became like my best friend. He always was trying to get me to this campus ministry, there at Grand Valley. And I would go every once in a while. And he, one time invited me to go, hey, you should come on this mission trip with me. It was to Mescalero, New Mexico. And, I remember I'm still in that area of my life where I just wanted to be comfortable and never go outside my comfort zone. And, so when he asked me, deep down, I knew I wasn't going to go. I was like, oh, maybe we'll see. I knew deep down I wasn't. Sure enough, like a month went by and he's like, I think I asked him about it. I was like, oh, how's that trip going? Like, I've been kind of thinking about it. Not sure if I want to go. He goes, oh, well, all the spots are filled up, so can't go even if you wanted. I was like, oh, that's a bummer. But deep down, I was like relieved. I was like, I don't have to go across the country. I can stay in my little bubble. The next few weeks after he told me it was filled, that trip was filled, I like something in my heart was telling me like, Jesse, it's time to, you know, get out of that comfort zone. It's time to go do something. And it was weird. I was like, well, I can't go on that mission trip, so I don't know what it's going to be. And I was going to a basketball intramural game. Before, when we were talking, Trent, we were talking about basketball a little bit. And of course, this is where this happens. We're at an intramural basketball game. And I vividly remember seeing him like running across the gym to tell me that a spot opened up. And this was a week and a half or 2 weeks before the trip was leaving.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he said there's a spot open and it's for, under 21 spot, and it has to be a male because they try to make sure it's like even guys and girls. So it needed to be a male under 21, and I was 20. So I was like, oh wow, that's perfect. And it was right around that time I felt in my heart I had to go step outside that comfort zone. So without hesitation, I just said, yeah, put me on the trip. I'll have to go ask my work if I can get it off. But I just felt confident that it would work out, and sure enough, it did. That trip had, for sure, 18 college students from Grand Valley, and I didn't know any of them besides my best friend. I knew of two other guys that were friends with my friend. So all the rest of them was like 15 people I never met before. They all had like meetings in the months prior. So I obviously missed out on all those. So yeah, I hopped on, there's two 15 or 18 passenger vans that we think 15 passenger vans we took. So we drove to New Mexico, which is, about 27, 28 hours.
Oof.
Yeah. So I hopped in a van and didn't know 15 of the people, and, ended up changing my life for sure. I guess, do you want me to get into that too?
Yeah. I was going to say, like, what would you say has been the most impactful part of going on to those mission trips? Like, what is it that you've learned?
Yeah. One big thing I've taken away is, like judging people. Like, don't judge a book by its cover. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of times I've gone on these trips and there's like two or three times I went and I decided to go a few weeks before. And so I didn't meet any of them before. And I, right away, it was easy to judge some of the people, and, you get, you know, a day or two in the trip and you're like, wow, this is like going to become my best friend. And I judged, like, at first I thought that this person was annoying or whatever, but the big part of what changes your judgment is the more you get to know someone. Like, I kind of hear each person's story throughout the week, and it changes how you perceive that person. You're way less judgmental when you know where they came from and why it is who they are. That's the cool thing about those trips is the times I have gone through campus ministry. It's a spring break trip. We all get an opportunity at night, about two or three of us a night get to share kind of our story, our testimony. And that first time I went, I knew I was going to go, but stay in my comfort zone still, but that's not at all what happened. I ended up telling my story, and everyone on the trip thought it would be a great story to tell for the youth group the night after. So I actually ended up standing up in front of like 40, 50 kids and telling them my story about my dad and how like my relationship and my faith grew, and just kind of how I dealt with it and how my dad, like who my dad was before he passed. Cause, the Mescalero is Indian reservation. So there's a lot of stigmas tied to that, and they do, struggle a lot with alcohol abuse, drug abuse, a lot of domestic violence. So there's a lot of stuff like that goes on, and a lot of those kids have it rough at home, so they've seen a lot of bad things. They have had a lot of people pass away in their family, close in their family. So I found out later, the pastor there told me that he knew that my story resonated with a lot of the kids, which was really cool. I was able to do that, and I obviously got way outside my comfort zone. But a long answer there to your question. I guess the biggest thing I've really loved about them is the people I've gone with, the people that you start in Michigan and sit in a van with for 28 hours. It's like you don't want to judge them once you know them. You know, it's like everyone has the ability to judge right away, but that's like not even. Like it's not even available when you know someone truly and you know their heart and you know why and who they are.
How has this, or I guess has it at all, had an impact on what it is that you want to do after college? So I know that we were talking a little bit before, and you were saying you're graduating in the next few weeks here, which is great. Congratulations. So what is it that you want to do, and how have these mission trips had an impact on your decision of what it is you want to do with your life?
Mm-hmm. So I still don't know exactly what it is I want to do.
Do any of us.
Right, yeah, right. But one thing I do know, it's funny because a lot of people, because I'm going again this summer to this Mescalero, another mission trip, and it will be the 8th time that I've gone. And every time I go, I come back and everyone's like, wow, you've gone 8 times. Like, you're gonna like end up there. Like, you're gonna find a job in that church and be there, aren't you? And for some reason, I just don't feel that that's where I'm being called. But at the same time, I don't know exactly what I'm going to be doing in my career, but there's this thing that I know, and it's, I see myself going there once or twice a year and bringing other people to experience what I've got to experience. So there is for sure that I know for my future. I love knowing that I can bring, people there and experience what I've experienced. It's awesome. But, another, I guess the answer would be I've kind of found in the last few years that I would maybe want to be a counselor, but that also means going back to school, and right now that's, I'm going to take at least a little break. So in the near future, not sure what the career is going to be, but I just love hearing people's stories, and I guess that resonates with being a counselor, you know, helping out and hearing what people are going through. So I guess that's probably been the biggest thing is if that's what I end up doing, you know, in the farther future, counseling, that would definitely be why. Mescalero would definitely be the reason why that happened.
Jesse, what is it that keeps you motivated? What is it that keeps you going?
That is a good question.
I stumped you.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, we're sitting here talking about Mescalero, and I would say that's a big reason. Like, I am leaving in June again to go, and I feel more motivated in my life in the last month or two, knowing that I'm going, knowing that I'm having a big part in leading this trip this time. So, like, definitely Mescalero is a motivation just in my life, I guess. Like, even in school right now, I'm on that last leg, and a big thing I just think about is, hey, you get to go to Mescalero in about a, you know, a month or two, like, just push through this last little bit of school. That kind of comes on and off, because if I go once a year, it's not when I get back from Escalera. I'm not like, oh, I get to go in a year. You know, it's so far away. It's kind of hard to have that motivation. So maybe another big motivation, I think, my family. After my dad passed, I've always been close to my family, but, like, knowing the value of family now after, like, losing someone, that the value of it is so much more. I'd say my family probably is my biggest motivation.
And you're saying how much you value your family and everything, and how big of an impact they've had on you. I know, so before we were talking about how you're working at a local pizzeria, yes, and that the owner had passed away. I don't remember when you said the owner had passed away, but that the owner had a big impact on you as well. Is that correct?
That is extremely correct.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about that.
That's awesome. Yeah. So I have been working at the same place for 10 years now, and this summer it will be 10 years. Started when I was 16, and I'll be turning 26 in June. There's a couple of times when I went to school, lived at school, so I took months off for that. But knowing the same family that has owned BC Pizza, where I've worked for 10 years now, and the dad who had the dream of starting this BC Pizza, he passed away. He had cancer. He had tumors in his brain. They found out I don't remember, obviously, the exact dates or anything, but it was probably the end of last summer, maybe the beginning of fall. He had a stroke, and he was at work, and he just could tell something was off, went into the hospital, and they did an MRI, and they found, like, it was around 15 tumors in his brain. And right then, they didn't think he was going to make it. They ended up doing surgery on two of the really big tumors, and the surgery went perfect. And he ended up going home after some rehabilitation after that surgery. And after the stroke, he lost movement on his left side. So that's a big part of the rehabilitation that he had. And he, after that surgery, when people didn't know if he was going to make it, first of all, is just an amazing, great Christian guy. Always looked up to him, always kind of looked at him as a father figure. Known him, you know, now for 10 years. And after he got out of the surgery, like, you don't think a person like that could become, like, even better. Like, you don't even think there's room to be better. But, like, he, it was unbelievable. I've never seen somebody so positive who goes through something so traumatic, you know. He said when he got out of the surgery, it was like a veil was lifted. He said, like, God gave him the second chance, and he knew what he was put on this earth to do. He said colors were more bright, just life. He was just so excited to live life every second for God. And it is the most inspiring story I've got to see in my life. I've heard so many stories from these Mescalero trips from different people. I've probably heard 80 to 100 stories throughout the different people I've gone with. And, like, I got to experience this and know this person. And it's the coolest thing. Unfortunately, he did pass away a few months after this surgery. But those few months, he left the rehabilitation hospital and just, like, he, like, went right back to work. I think after he left the hospital, he was working the weekend after. He blew everybody's mind, and he went and got baptized a week after he got out of the hospital. BC Pizza has, like, corporate meetings, and a week after he got out of the hospital, he was at that corporate meeting sharing a story. And just, if there's someone out there that is a father figure to me, he's definitely one of them. And I even had a very special conversation with him when he was in the hospital. He said that he's always looked at me as a son, and he was super proud of me and everything. So that's, you know, a moment I get to cherish and hold on to, I got with him. But yeah, he was just unbelievable. There you go, going on again. But yeah, he definitely father figure inspiration for sure for me.
That's awesome, though. That is really cool.
Yeah.
Jesse, so I guess, is there anything? Sometimes I don't know how to word questions. I guess, what would you say is the biggest takeaway for people listening to this? What is it that you want people to take away? What is it that you want them to learn from your story? Something that you wish you would have known, or something that you've kind of discovered through all these events that you've gone through and been through?
Mm-hmm. I guess there's a few. I would say life is short, for sure. I even, you know, I've got to see examples where life is short. You know, you don't expect fathers to pass away at, you know, at 50. So life is short, and just know that and live your life to the fullest. And if you have a faith, like, I guess investigate that, be strong and genuine to that. I would say for judging people, don't be quick to judge. Know that everyone, like, we all know that we have our own story. We all know that we have had stuff that we've gone through. And to be able to look at someone else and know that right away when you look at them that they have their own story. So just wait until you get to know them better to I guess not even judge them, just to know who they are. And don't be afraid to get outside your comfort zone sometimes. It's the reason I am who I am right now. For sure. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing your story. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me and giving me this opportunity to share mine and also couple other people's story. My dad and his Mr. B is what everyone called him at the pizza place, right? So being able to share his a little bit of his story is I love sharing his story. That's huge inspiration to me as well.
It's been about 5 or 6 years since Jesse and I have talked and connected. And heck, I don't even know how we connected over these past 2 weeks or so, how we reconnected. But I greatly appreciate Jesse coming on today. Thank you so much, Jesse, for sharing your story, and not only your story, but like you said at the end there, the story of your dad and of Mr. B. And I'm sure they would both be very proud of you right now. And all the work that you're doing and everything that it is that you're going to continue to do and that you want to do and aspire to in life. I kind of want to reiterate two things before we end for this week that Jesse had said when I asked, you know, what are the biggest takeaways? The first one that he had mentioned was life is short. And he's right. He's had that personal experience of witnessing that, of seeing it and being a part of it and feeling its impact. For me, I talk about that all the time with Leanne, how, you know, that's why I started this podcast, because I really wanted to start that speaking portion of it. And I love doing this type of stuff. It's why I want to become a speaker way sooner rather than later. And it's something I've always preached to Leanne, how I want to do it sooner rather than later. Because you just never know when the light is going to go out on your candle. And so live your life. Like Jesse said, live your life. Do the things that you want to do, because you never know what your expiration day is. And so you want to make sure that you aren't going to look back on your life and be like, why didn't I do this? You want to look back and say, I am so glad I did this. The other big thing I think we can take away from Jesse too, he had mentioned to me, this wasn't in the interview today, but we had kind of been talking a little bit off air. And one thing he had mentioned to me is how he really appreciated 2 weeks ago when Saul talked about not judging a book by its cover, because he really doesn't have the luxury to do so. And I don't really like using that word luxury. I don't think it's a luxury that we have the ability to do so. It's almost detrimental that we have the ability to judge a book by its cover, that we can see the cover. But Jesse said, don't be quick to judge. Remember that they have a story as well. And it's really not judging, but it's learning who they are. That really struck me, because that's something that I talk about in my talk that I'm going to give to students and other people one day, is not judging others, not being quick to judge others. But Jesse even made me look at it in a new light. It's not judging, it's learning who they are. Keep that in mind as you go throughout this next week. And if you have a story, which Jesse said it, I mean, he's learned from his mission trips, everyone has a story. So I need to stop even saying if you have a story. If you would like to share your story, feel free to reach out to me at Trent Speaks on Instagram or TrentSpeaks@gmail.com. If you'd like a t-shirt, those are still available as well. And I want to leave you with a quote. Funny enough, I received a picture from a good friend of mine, Sarah. She sent me a picture, and it was of a mug. Originally, it wasn't even the mug that she was sending a picture of. But I really appreciate the quote that was on the mug, and it was from John F. Kennedy. One person can make a difference, and everyone should try. Have a great week, everyone.